Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host and business system strategist, Lindsay Sutherland. Thank you so much for joining me. We have an interesting conversation. We're going to talk about basically why your top employees are thinking of quitting and what you can do about it. I think the number one fear as a business owner is losing team. I see this a lot. We've done an episode recently called Are your employees holding you hostage? A lot of it comes down to business owners who are just too afraid of turnover. So they make exceptions and break their own rules for employees, but that is not the point of today's conversation. The question today is, why would one of your best employees be thinking of leaving in the first place? And by the way, today's episode is brought to you by Biz in a Box Solutions CRM. So if you're looking for a robust all-in-one CRM solution that can handle anything you can throw at it, I'm going to throw that out as a blanket statement. One of our customers recently said, this is the Learjet of CRM solutions. Like, what can it not do? There's very little that I have found that it cannot do, but for the most part, it can handle everything your business needs, whether it's website hosting, funnel building, automations, email automations, invoicing, proposals, social media scheduler, opportunity tracker, the list goes on. I invite you to book a demo, head over to bizinaboxsolutions.com/CRM, and let's have a conversation. We'll show you the product, if you have to answer any questions you have, and go from there. Okay, so I remember back in the day, this is going back a long time ago, and it's a funny side story, so I'm going to start out with this. I used to work at PetSmart. It was one of my first jobs. Listen, I lived in Phoenix. If you're familiar with Phoenix, I lived around 75th Avenue in Union Hills, and there was a PetSmart right by my house within walking distance. Okay, now mind you, I didn't have a car. I was like 15, 16. I didn't drive yet. But that PetSmart didn't have an equine center. It only had small pets, had dog, cat, reptile, fish, that kind of thing. And I wanted to work in the equine department. I grew up with horses. I loved horse stuff. And the closest PetSmart to me that had the equine division was all the way out in North Scottsdale. We're talking like a 30-mile drive. I got myself a job there because I wanted to work in the equine department. And of course, the equine department was full, so they hired me, but they stuck me in the aquatics department. So that means I was fishing out fish from tanks and cleaning out reptile cages and messing with crickets. Oh God, I hated that part. But I did it all with the hopes that one day I would get to go to the equine department as soon as there was an opening, because that's the promise they made when they hired me. So lo and behold, the day comes, somebody is leaving the equine department, and I'm like, yay, I'm a shoo-in, let's go. So I go to the boss and I'm like, hey, of course, first of all, let me preface this by saying, I was under the impression they remembered my conversation. They knew that whole time, just as much as I knew that I wanted to be in that department. I assumed they knew that. That's important. We're going to get back to that. Well, after a little while, I saw they were interviewing people for that department, and I started to get a little nervous, and I thought, oh man, I better say something. So I go to my boss timidly, and I said, hey, I noticed there's an opening in the equine department. Are you considering me? I know when I started, that was my big thing, is I wanted to work back there. And she had forgotten. Of course, this was the middle manager, so she, I don't even think, was really aware. Anyway, she comes back to me a couple days later and she says, okay, well, we've decided we're not putting you back there, because here was her answer. You're too good on the floor up here, and this is the busiest department, and we need you up here. Oh my goodness. Guess what? They lost their, quote, good employee, because it was no longer worth it for me to drive 30 miles when I could walk to a PetSmart by my house and do the same thing if that's what I wanted to do. I quit. I found another job. Hey, it's Lindsay, and I want to pop in here because I know how overwhelming it can be to get started building an online business. I've even spoken with people who've paid thousands of dollars for help from people who are truly experts in this, and they're still feeling confused about what direction is right for them, or if their idea is even a good one. Listen, you don't have to guess or pray or hope or any of that. There is a way to test the market to ensure your idea is a good one so you can launch with confidence. And that's exactly what I show you in this simple 35-minute video training. I keep it simple because I know you already have so much swirling around in your brain. I'm not here to add more confusion because what you need right now is clarity. And that's what's in store for you in the short training called How to Tell If Your Idea Will Be Profitable. Access the video right now by texting the word FREEDOM to 55444. Stop guessing and start taking strategic action. Text FREEDOM to 55444. All right, back to the show. So, what can we learn from that? I mean, Lindsay, here I was just 16, right? I wasn't very old, but it's important because the same thing happens in so many cases. And I think that story really demonstrates a lot of what I want to talk about today. So first of all, your employees are not going to ask you for feedback. I was never told that I was really good in that department. I had no idea. That, in fact, me wanting to move, that was the first time somebody had said to me that, well, we think you're really good where you are. So my point is this, your employees are not going to come asking you for feedback. They're not going to come and say, hey, how am I doing? Can you do a review for me? You have to be the leader and you have to take that. And here's the challenge that business owners often fall into. They forget about this. They're just simply going through the motions. They're like, yeah, life's good. The employees are doing good. I don't need to say anything. We have no problems. Why? Because you're used to being a firefighter. You're used to putting out fires. And when employees are good, there's no fires. Therefore, they don't need your attention. Wrong answer. Your employees need your attention all the time, especially when they're doing good. The other piece is, remember in the story when I said to you, in my mind, I assumed they remembered the conversation. I assumed they knew that my heart was seeking to be in a different department. Your employees will do the same thing. They are going to make assumptions. They'll make assumptions that you know something because you had a conversation with them 8 months ago and you probably forgot it. That's number one. Two, right? They'll make assumptions about your opinions of them based on the most random things. You didn't respond to a text right away. you were having a bad morning, and so you snapped at them. It had nothing to do with them, but they'll take it personally. My point is, people make presumptions about your opinion of them and will come up with these, we'll say cockamamie stories that will lead them to quit. And you will be blindsided because you will have had no idea they were having these thoughts and feelings. You know why? Because you stopped having conversations with them. These moments of having these feedback, it's not just an opportunity to show them appreciation. That's important. It's also a moment for you to get feedback and hear what's going on and have that touch point and reset those stories that they're telling themselves. This is the power behind these follow-ups. So make it a priority. Put it in your calendar and it's a non-negotiable, and it needs to be simple, conversational. It doesn't have to be serious and heavy. Hey, Bob, we're just getting together. I wanted to just touch base with you. It's our quarterly meetup. This is an opportunity for you and I to just reset, see what's going on. I'd love to hear any feedback you have for me as well. First, let me start out by saying, and then give them some compliments. Then sandwich in the criticism, if there is any. And then finish with some compliments and the future growth. And invite him to share his thoughts and feelings as well. Just this simple thing will help you keep a pulse on your employees and significantly reduce the risk of them leaving because of some random nebulous thing that you have forgotten or didn't even know was happening. Principle number two here is you need to know their love language. That sounds really bizarre to say when we're talking about business and employees, but I'm gonna take the principles of the five love languages, the book by Gary Chapman, and I'm going to demonstrate for you how you can prevent your employee from leaving and how you might actually be causing them to leave because you don't understand their love language. I'm also going to share with you how you can get to know it without having to get too intimate with your team. Because obviously, we're not looking for any HR issues here, okay? So to remind you, the five love languages, if you haven't read the book, I recommend it, but the five love language in the book is gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, touch, and acts of service. I want to change these just slightly for more of a work environment to say, now think of this in terms of motivating factors for your team. Prize and money, which could be equated to gifts, right? Time off could be equated to quality time. Acts of service could still be like, say one of your team members had a really great day and they're also in charge of closing duties. What if you stayed and closed for them once, just as a, you know, as a prize? Another one I've seen, you know, done is cooking, where the managers cook a barbecue for the team. You know, your acts of service, you're doing something for them. Words of affirmation is pretty much the same. And then touch. The difference here is touch could be something like, you know, putting your hand on their shoulder, telling them, like, when you say you did such a great job, thank you, shaking their hand. You know, we're talking about basic things here. We're not talking about intimacy at all. But it's important if that's their, if they're responsive to that. So obviously you're not going to go around and like quizzing everybody about what is your love language, right? That would just be weird. But one idea is a part of your onboarding process could involve a game. I used to do this, and when I interviewed people, I would play Would You Rather. And for me, it was more or less because I was trying to determine how did they work? Did they prefer working in a team or did they prefer working individually? Did they prefer one thing over another? So I would put the game Would You Rather on the table because it forced them to choose one. They couldn't choose more than one. And in fact, if they did choose like, oh, I don't know, or more than one, I didn't choose them because they were not decisive. I wanted people that were decisive. That in and of itself was telling. So when you do the Would You Rather game, you could even do it on a piece of paper, but you could say, you know, we want to know what motivates you. So we're going to play the game Would You Rather. Would you rather receive a prize of $500 in cash or an equal gift worth $500? Or would you rather receive 2 days off paid, two extra paid vacation days? Let them decide. I mean, right there, you can easily find out if they're money-driven or quality time-driven. You know, you could do the same thing. Like, would you rather your boss just praise you in front of the team or offer to do closing duties for you? Let them choose. Again, now you know, do they like words of service or words of affirmation or acts of service? So that's an easy way to find out, you know, what people are doing, because you want to be able to offer prizes and motivation that matters to people. Because when you don't, they will go, this is what ties into the culture, right? It ties into the culture. So people will be like, you know, I just don't feel like I'm getting appreciated here, and they'll move on. Doesn't mean they're not getting appreciated. You might be giving them praise when their love language is prizes. Okay. Or you might be giving prizes when their love language is praise. So the point is they may not feel appreciated. Now, when it comes to touch, this is one where I would just pay attention to somebody's handshake. I think a handshake can tell you so much about a person. If you have a person who is a very affectionate, relationship-driven person, typically they are really in strong handshakers. And I don't mean physically strong. I mean like nurturing type handshakes. Like they shake your hand and they cover it with their other hand, or they pull you in for a hug. Okay. Those are easy to tell. Those people don't mind a pat on the back or, you know, like touching their arm when you're asking them to do something, those types of things. If they are, not interested in shaking a hand. Like, they don't offer their hand shaked out to you, pretty much. They're probably somebody who really just doesn't like to be touched. And in that case, you're better off just not touching them for any reason. That's something I learned about when I studied DISC personalities. So I invite you to go check that out. With DISC personalities, you can tell a lot about a person's personality by their handshake. And it goes more into that detail, I guess you'd say, on that topic. But that is true. And it can be a big deal. Like, you can really offend somebody if you touch them when they don't like to be touched. But then on the flip side of it, you can also make somebody feel like you really care about them with a simple touch of the shoulder. So we're talking about a very, very light, basic touch. This isn't anything weird, but it can be important to the relationship you have with your team. Now, the last one I want to touch on is lack of career advancement in a different way. So first of all, I shared with you the story of the PetSmart scenario where I didn't get to advance my career. I'm talking about something a little differently here. This is when you have somebody who's a clear leader in your business. They have taken initiative in some way, shape, or form within their role. Now, this is the kind of person who is clearly interested in moving up the ladder. Not always because they're interested in making more money. It could just be that they want a bigger title that's more about stature, and they have a need within themselves to be more important. That's the reality, more important. What can happen is if they're limited in their ability, or they're told that their ideas don't matter, or that they need to stay in their lane. This is a huge mistake. If your business isn't set up to where these people can grow, they will leave because they will feel stifled. So I invite you to embrace these people and keep boundaries. And the reason I say that is because when you embrace their skill and their desire to move up, and you embrace it within a structure or a framework. So say, for example, you have a young person and they are really showing leadership. They've taken initiative in certain ways. You're very happy and thankful. You've thanked them. This goes beyond thanking them. Now we're going to bring them in. Hey, we're going to launch a new division and we want your input. Or, hey, we are expanding this area and I noticed you did this over here. I wondered if you wouldn't mind sitting in with us on a couple conversations to share your insight. I don't really have an opening on that department. I want to keep you where you're at, but your feedback really means a lot to me. Just that alone can make that person feel so special. And if they are in a place where they are feeling like their opinions matter, they will stay. They will feel very loyal to you and to your company. But the reason I say to do it within framework is because if you give them too much authority, you can end up having a person who is insubordinate. So it's important to grow them carefully. And intentionally. And so I understand, you know, insubordination, but if you give somebody too much power too quickly, it can go to their head and they will talk back to you. They will start telling you what you need to do with your business. And that's no fun. So invite them in small ways, but you're showing them that their opinion and their leadership counts for something. And that is really enough. Over time, they may step up into bigger roles, but again, it will have happened over time and with a framework. Okay, so obviously that doesn't touch on every reason why an employee might be choosing to leave. These are three, I think, of the most under thought of ones, which is why I wanted to bring some light to them. And I appreciate you tuning in. Clearly, if you're listening to this, you are a leader who is interested in self-development and self-growth. And I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I invite you to continue on your journey of learning about the psychology of humans so that you can truly be a strong leader in your business. That concludes today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, bye for now.